It's a new theme and it's a new show. Jazz Archives. The theme song is Billy Strayhorn take off on his own composition, Take the A-Train, based on Take the A-Train chords. He calls it Buddha. When asked what it meant, he said Buddha. We're here with our artist for the day, on records, of course, Sidney Bechet, or Bechet is correct. Funny thing, we who have been in the business a long while kind of laugh at the youngsters who call him Sidney Bechet. And the laugh is on us because we always said Bechet, but actually he says Bechet. When times got rough in the music business, he opened a tailor shop and he had a sign out front, B-A-S-H-A, Bechet. Okay, Sidney was born in New Orleans, May 14th of 1897. They always kidded him about his age because he always looked middle-aged. Some people said he was 70 years old, 60 years old. Actually, May 14th, 1897 was easy to keep track of, just 3 years short of the decade. And so he wasn't, he just looked old. When some college student asked him one time in an interview, to what do you owe your vibrato? He had a very strong vibrato. He says, senility, young man, senility. He was quite a character. His first instrument, it was a musical family. Dad saw that every one of the kids learned an instrument. Sidney, when he was a little less than 10 years old, they brought him a fife. Some people said that they brought him a flute. Others, you know, things get twisted with the passage of time. I guess it was a fife. In 1905, Sidney got his first clarinet, and the neighbors attest to the fact that he practiced day and night. By the age of 10, he had impressed all of the older musicians in New Orleans. He worked with them regularly. He took lessons and he took advice from the famous New Orleans clarinetists, the T.O. brothers, Lawrence T.O., Alphonse Picou, Big Eye Nelson. They were all noted clarinetists and all great technicians, and they all gave lessons to Sidney. He was a hot-tempered young man. Matter of fact, he killed a man. Spent some time in jail. That's hot-tempered. We have his first records. He was with Will Cook band that made a tour of Europe. And he was a little over 10, in his early teens. He was so impressed the European jazz fans. Actually, it wasn't called jazz yet. It was just popular music, dance music. He so impressed a Swiss conductor, music critic, Ernest Ansermet. Is that how it's pronounced in Switzerland? He showed amazingly clear vision and insight into an unknown music. He wrote the following: "What a moving thing it is to meet this very fat black boy with white teeth and a narrow forehead who's very glad that one likes what he does. He can say nothing of his art, save that he follows his own way. And when he thinks that is his own way, it is perhaps the highway that the whole world will swing on to tomorrow." Well, the whole world kind of overlooked Sidney for a good many years. He was listed as a comedian. However, he was a music critic. He was a pianist. He had record contracts. He was a real go-out-and-get-em type individual. And he recorded most of the young giants of jazz when they were just kids, like Sidney Bechet. Had a couple of guys who worked with him regularly. Sometimes it was Clarence Williams' Blue Five. Sometimes it was the Red Onion Jazz Band, Clarence Williams' Blue Five. He usually had a top-notch trumpet player. When Louis Armstrong came to New York, he signed Louis immediately. He signed Sidney Bechet when Sidney came back from France with those rave reviews from the French critic. He had under contract Buddy Christian, banjo. He played piano. And he had a trombone player, Charlie Irvis, who worked with him regularly. And he kind of had the jazz business, although it wasn't called jazz yet, kind of had the jazz business sewed up. We're going to listen to a couple of records. I should play more, but they are acoustic recordings, and that really dates them. I know that it's difficult for youngsters today to follow the acoustic recordings, but we'll listen to a couple of them. For instance, the first one is with Clarence Williams' Blue Five. Louis Armstrong was signed for the date. Charlie Irvis, trombone. Sidney Bechet. I almost always say Bechet, and it's Bechet. Sidney and Clarence Williams at the piano, and Buddy Christian, banjo. And this is the Texas Moaner Blues. Thank you. That was the Texas Moaner Blues. And the trumpet, of course, was Louis Armstrong, and Sidney Bechet with his clarinet and soprano saxophone. I always had the idea that Sidney stayed with the soprano saxophone so that he could hold his own with the trumpet players. Before the days of microphones, they had to line them up according to the power of the instrument. So he had an instrument with a soprano saxophone that could hold its own with any trumpet player, as he did there with Louis. He was the story of how he got started playing the soprano saxophone varies considerably, the ocean in between. One story is that he was walking down the street in Paris, probably, when he was in Europe. He passed a music shop, and he saw a strange-looking instrument in the window. And he stopped in to see what it was, and it was a soprano saxophone, a straight soprano saxophone, not the ones that looked like a pipe. This one was straight. And the other is that he was in Chicago, and he was walking down the street, and he saw in the window of a music shop a straight instrument, looked like a clarinet. He went in and asked them what it was. They told him it was a soprano saxophone. He tried it, and he liked it, and that was the start of it. So take your choice. Either he was in Europe or he was in Chicago when he saw his first soprano saxophone. Let's listen to another one of these acoustic records. This one, again, with Louis Armstrong trumpet, Charlie Irvis trombone, Clarence Williams, the leader. It was Clarence Williams' Blue Five. Sidney Bechet playing an instrument called a sarrusophone. A sarrusophone is the other end of the saxophone section from the soprano saxophone. Wasn't used very much, and it's hardly ever used today. Probably more backing cartoons and strange sounds. Sidney thought it would be a challenge to make a record with the sarrusophone. It was a double reed instrument and didn't take much to switch from the instrument he was playing to the sarrusophone. And we'll listen and see what it sounded like. Buddy Christian played the banjo, and this has a vocal by Eva Taylor, who was one of the vocalists who sang with Clarence Williams. This is Mandy, Make Up Your Mind.
Thank you.
It's easy to see why that instrument didn't catch on. That was a sarrusophone, and to my knowledge, the only recording of a sarrusophone. Clarence Williams Blue Five. The trumpet was Louis Armstrong. Next up, we have Tommy Ladnier, or do you say Lanier, or Ladnier, which I call it Ladnier. And he was kind of rediscovered by Sidney Bechet. See, I can't get myself to say Bechet. And it puts me with the college kids who say Betchet. All right. The next set that we have is one that was done in 1932. Sidney Bechet and his New Orleans Feet Warmers. Tommy Ladnier, trumpet. Teddy Nelson, trombone. Sidney Bechet with soprano saxophone. Hank Duncan, a Fats Waller disciple, was the pianist. Ernest Myers, the bass, and Morris Moreland was the drummer. This session from 1932 is one of the great jazz sides, one of the great forgotten jazz sides. This one just swings me into bad health. They did six sides at this session, and that shows they all felt good and they wanted to do a few extra things. And ordinarily, it's four sides for a session. So here, the personnel that we just gave you is going to jump into this session with the six sides, one of which is I've Found a New Baby. Thank you. Yeah, that is. I found a new baby, and that one is one of those things that just swings you into bad health, and the whole session is that way. Session of September 15th, 1932. There was a dance called a shag, and from the tempo of the record here, I'd like to see the shag. The dancers could work up a sweat. Wilson Myers, the bassist, does a scat vocal on this, too. So they're really ahead of their times. Teddy Nixon, trombone. Sidney Bechet, soprano saxophone. Tommy Ladnier, or Lanier, trumpet. And I'm certainly glad that they found Tommy Lanier. And one of the forgotten men of jazz. Let's see. Okay, we're all ready to do the shag now with a scat chorus by Wilson Myers, the bassist. That was a great session from 1932, and it kind of reminds you of the old Hoopin' Blues, too. Got a little bit of that in there. That was the shag, the music that evidently was used for the dance, the shag. I would like to have seen the shag. Bechet joined Noble Sissel's orchestra, and kind of cut down on the traveling and the trips to Europe and that sort of thing. I don't know who was the person who did the arrangement for this and made sure that they recorded it. But he's a friend of mine. He's a W.C. Fields friend. Because this one is, "'Tain't a Fit Night Out for Man Nor Beast."
Out for man to be. Oh yeah, that wind a blowing in the east. You had better have a care, cause there's danger in the air, and it ain't a fit night out for man to be. Night, the rain and winds increased, and when everybody thought that it had ceased, lightning split the rain swept night, each sinner shook with fright, and it ain't a fit night out for man nor beast. Horses quivered in the barnyard stall, and the hay don't seem to interest them at all. All the chickens and the geese each laid 14 eggs apiece, and it ain't a fit night out for man or beast. She was bundled up so warm. But the wind was blowing where that gal should have taken care. And it weren't a fit night out for man or beast.
Twarn't a fit night out for man or beast. That, one of my favorite W.C. Fields movies. Comes a knock at the door, he opens the door, whap, snow all over him, right in the face. And, well, if you saw it, you got a chuckle. And if you didn't see it, pick up on some of the old W.C. Fields movies. We're listening now to Sidney Bechet, and we've worked ourselves up to 1937 with Noble Sissle and the orchestra. He spent a few years with Noble Sissle. Coming up next, Joshua Fit, the Battle of Jericho. It was recorded in 1949. With Wild Bill Davison and his cornet, another who can stand up with his trumpet against W.C. Fields, against Sidney Bechet and his soprano saxophone. Wild Bill Davison's cornet, Sidney Bechet's soprano saxophone, Art Hodes. Actually, this was recorded under Art Hodes' name. He was the recording director, the pianist. Walter Page, the bassist, and Freddie Moore, the drummer. January 21st of 1949. And Joshua Fit, the Battle of Jericho. Joshua at the Battle of Jericho. That was one that Sidney played regularly. Big argument in jazz circles as to should they try to improvise every time they play, or should they get a set way of playing it? Murray McEachern, who, when he joined the Benny Goodman Band, he said to Benny, I can't play jazz the way some people do, and I can't do it especially every night. So something different. Benny said, don't worry about it. Play the same thing tonight you played last night. Play the same thing last night that you played the night before. And Sweets Edison said in an interview one time, after he joined the Basie Band, he said, Count, I can't improvise. I can't play jazz on these things every night, night after night, and play something different. Count will clean up his language a little bit. said, don't have to worry about it. Play something that sounds good tonight. Play the same blankety-blank sound tomorrow night. And then there's Art Tatum, who said, once you play it and you get it right, keep it. So there are a lot of great jazz players who don't improvise. I had that shaken me up pretty good when Sidney Bechet was in the summer of 1949 here in Chicago at Jazz Limited. And I used to stop by Jazz Limited regularly. And one of the first things I learned was that his recording of Summertime, he played it the same way every time he played it. And I thought, that doesn't seem right. That isn't jazz. But then I thought about what Art Tatum said, if you get it right, keep it. Here's the recording of Summertime, which he played the same way every night, night after night.
Thank you.
was his famous recording of Summertime that he played the same way every time. When you get it right, you keep it. Here's an interesting side that was recorded in 1940. Sidney Bechet and his trio, with Sidney playing clarinet, Earl Hines at the piano, and Baby Dodds, the drummer. That's some trio, huh? And this is one of the famous compositions, Blues in Thirds. And that was Blues in Thirds, and with a wonderful all-star personnel, Earl Hines, the pianist, Sidney Bechet and his soprano saxophone, and Baby Dodds, the drummer. An interesting album that came out in 1957 from France, where Sidney had located and spent the rest of his life, called Sidney Bechet Has Young Ideas, featuring Kenny Clarke and Marshall Salal. And so they did an album full of standard tunes, one of which was Rose Room. Thank you. That was Rose Room with some young modern French musicians, including Marshall Salal and Kenny Clark, the American expatriate who was one of the first Americans to go to Europe and live, and Sydney was he became like the Eiffel Tower and the River Seine. He was one of the landmarks of Paris. Let's listen to a side from Bunk Johnson, who was discovered. And Bunk had some great times telling about stories that that may or may not have happened. But he did. He was one who hired Sidney Bechet when Sidney was a youngster. And after he was discovered back in the mid-1940s, he made an album with Bunk and Bechet called Bunk and Bechet in Boston, 45. And they did a broadcast from Boston like this.
Hiya, jazz fans. This is Bob Brenner speaking to you from Boston's hotspot of music, the Savoy Cafe, located at 410 Massachusetts Avenue in Boston. Time now to present our nightly dance party feature, Jazz Nocturne. And from the Savoy Cafe, we present the fourth in a new series of programs by Sidney Bechet and his New Orleans Rhythm Kings. For the next half hour, you will be entertained by Pops Foster on bass, Bunk Johnson on trumpet, Ray Parker at the piano, George Johnson on drums, and of course, Sidney Bechet himself on clarinet and soprano sax. And now you know, ladies and gentlemen, the blues were indeed the heart of New Orleans music, and coming up first tonight is one of the greatest blues ever written. W.C. Handy's immortal St. Louis Blues. Oh.
broadcast from Boston with Sidney Bechet and Bunk Johnson. We couldn't have a program of Sidney Bechet without his famous Petite Fleur.
Et maintenant, Petite Fleur.
That was a concert which was attended by the people who love Sidney Bechet. Hope you've heard some things that you liked, and hope you've heard some new things, things that you haven't had an opportunity to hear otherwise. What am I saying? I'm saying I enjoyed it, and I hope you did too. I'm Dick Buckley. This is Chicago Public Radio. Happiness.